Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Tree Smith, Blog. Sorry about the music, y'all. I do not know where it came from. But hi, this is Tree Smith coming to you today on this lovely day of God's grace. And I would like to introduce myself. I'm Tree Smith, hosting Blog Talk Radio, Free Your Mind, which, to remind everyone, I'm the CEO of D-Rock Consultants, and as I do every Sunday, I love to invite guests, passionate entrepreneurs, to come on to the show to share their stories, their life passions with others, just to maybe give us some insight of their background. Maybe we influence listeners out there. You never know what story might influence you to become that passionate entrepreneur that you have inside, but you're scared to make those steps. So as my guests come on sharing their stories, I always give people some encouragement. I get good feedback from the show, and I'm so encouraged to invite these passionate entrepreneurs on. And as today, we have my VIP guest, Kathy Cardio. Kathy is based in Long Island. Her debut book, It All Matters, The Parent Project, was inspired by her parents and grandparents. The many questions she wished had been answered, the adventures, the struggles, wisdom, and stories. It is her hope that future generations will have such an insight. And today, how you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
That's great. To my listeners out there, Kathy, introduce yourself, give us a little background, and what keeps you inspired, you doing with it, what you do.
Okay, my name is Kathy Cardio. As you said, I'm based on Long Island. My background right now, I'm a security supervisor, but I'm in the process of getting two businesses off the ground. One is VIP valet and event staff, and we're in the process of getting the first few accounts as we speak. And I actually own a hot dog truck as well.
But I'm always on another venture. And that sounds great. That's what I love about people. You get these adventures in your mind, and if you don't ever try, who knows? And you always had a question in the back of your mind, what if? So what inspired you to, you know, start your journey?
Well, the book itself, you mean?
Well, with the businesses that you're trying to pursue now.
Well, the businesses, I just never, ever settle, and I could never believe that today what's going on in the here and now is all that it's ever going to be. You know, I use the analogy when I'm 100 years old on my deathbed, God willing, I live that long, I want to look back, and the two words that I live by are no regrets, never have any regrets. You know, if you try and you fail, that's okay, but you got to keep going.
And that is so true. Tell us a little about your book, It All Matters, The Parent Project.
Right. Well, It All Matters, The Parent Project actually was inspired by my grandparents. I was very close with them, and when they passed away, I realized that there were so many questions that I wish I had asked them. And I realized that while I can't change that for myself going forward, I can change it for my children and grandchildren. And I also, that was the first reason I started to write it. That was the initial reason. And then also, unfortunately, I had a friend who was terminally ill, and I wrote this book for her so that her young daughter, who is also my godchild, would have the questions answered for her.
Oh, that is great. That's a great inspiration of writing the book. Could you give us a little insight on the book?
The book is about life lessons, living your dream, and reaching for your own personal goals. And it's very personalized. Some people think, oh, is it a book about you? Is it a biography? And I say, no, the book is about you. It's about what are your goals. Some people may say, I want to get married, I want to have children, and that's the end of their goals. And not that that's a bad thing, but it's their goals. Other people may want to visit every crazy place in the world or try every crazy adventure and bungee jumping and things. So what it is 10 very motivational chapters about living your life to the fullest. And then there's about 2,500 questions, all in different categories. It starts out from birth, and it goes all the way past through death. It's like every stage of your life. It even gives a whole chapter about your medical history so that you can ask your parents, you know, what the medical history is. But it also leaves no questions unanswered, meaning after death, you know, there's always, not always, but usually, the questions, you know, do they want to be buried or cremated? And, you know, not to be morbid, but these are things that most people don't talk about because it's uncomfortable. but it's right there for you to write it all down. It has questions from, as you were growing up in elementary school, what kind of a personality did you have? And then some of the questions are duplicated because we do change or have different answers to the same questions at different stages in our life, depending on what we're going through or how much we've grown throughout the years.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it covers, like I call it the little stuff, which are the small questions, your favorite color, your favorite food, which might be pizza, you know, and that's the little stuff, but it's just as big, it's just, I should say, just as important as the bigger stuff, you know, and then there's a whole chapter, which is actually the chapter about the questions about the difficult stuff, the very thought-provoking question. You know, maybe what was an opportunity that you fear you missed, or would you have taken a chance, you know, if you, excuse me, would you have changed, what would have changed if you took a chance? What are your biggest fears? Is there any place you'd like to visit? I use the one question that most people don't know, although I actually found two people that know this, the story about the day you were born. What happened? What was the labor like for your parents? Who was sitting in the waiting room? Who was in the delivery room? Were there any complications? You know, most people do not know that. And then I had actually the one person that did know it, they had a very significant story because her dad was also apparently somebody else's dad, and both moms went into labor the same day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she knew that story. But most people, I mean, that was a little, you know, above and beyond what I had anticipated. But, you know, most people don't know the story, and usually it's not that dramatical either.
Right. Oh, God, that is very interesting. I know that was the story behind that one.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, with you being inspired, let's talk about some of the points that you make about removing the barriers to life without limitations. You know, explain to the listeners what you mean by that, removing the barriers to a life without limitations.
Well, I think in life there's always barriers, no matter which way you look at it. You're going to hit bumps in the road. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through, you know, the high times too. The barriers are just simply roadblocks, temporary roadblocks. Now, some people stay at those roadblocks, and they sit and they turn the engine off, and other people hit the gas pedal, and they go right through them. And that's what I try to get people to do. You know, I try to get through the questioning. People actually question their own lives, which was the goal of this book. If you didn't do something, why didn't you do it? Well, why don't you do it now if you feel the outcome would have been better? You got to just keep going. You can't settle for a mediocre life unless that's really what you want. Unless, you know, mediocre can be something to one person and a totally different definition to another person.
That is
but
so
it
true.
Actually, you know, but it helps you examine your own life. What you really want out of it, because if you don't know what you want out of your life, you're never going to get there. You know, I talk specifically about, you know, otherwise you need a roadmap. Otherwise, you know, you're just going in circles, so to speak. I want to give that people that, you know, get up and go attitude on whatever they perceive as success.
That is so great. I can understand that because as you said, as us being individuals, I think we do put up some of the barriers ourselves. And, you know, right. And as you say, if we don't knock those barriers down and just try or, you know, I feel like sometimes life is what you make of it. What do you think about that?
Life is absolutely what you make about it, and it all starts with your head. You know, you have people, unfortunately, walking around depressed and telling their story about why they're depressed and what makes them depressed and who makes them depressed. And
right.
If that's truly the story that they believe, that's who they are. You know, that's the story that's going to prevent them. It's kind of like if you have somebody who has a problem and they ask you for the solution, you can give them the solution. Now, if that's a person who wants to move on with their life and better themselves, they're going to listen to the solution. Most likely they're going to take your advice, do what you told them to do, and they're going to move on. Then there are other people who ask you for a solution and totally do a 360 in the other direction. Now, why is that? Because they don't want to better themselves. It's like they tend to tell the story to you, and they're mm-hmm. not actually looking for a solution, which is odd. But it's true, because if you solve that problem for them, then they can't tell person B, person C, person D, and stay in that story.
Right.
I'd like people to get out of that story. That story, you know, if it's a bad story, it's not helping you. It's not helping anybody around you. You need to get beyond that story and say, you know what, whatever happened to me happened. I can't change that. I can only accept it and move on from here.
That is so true, Kathy, because, you know, as me being in the consulting business and, you know, as we interview our clients, and they want to pursue certain things, and like you say, they have this story. And a lot of things,
yeah.
the stories I heard is maybe they blamed something for them not moving forward because of something in their life in the past. You know,
right.
it's like they can't get over it. And,
right.
you know,
so
I,
all
as I
have
try
a
to.
Story.
Right.
Everybody has a story. Some may be worse than others. I'm not, you know, disagreeing with that, but we all have a story. And that is not the story, if it's a negative story, that you want to live by.
Right. I agree with you on so much about that. And, you know, as you say, living a dream, you know, kind of express to the listeners, you know, what it is about living your dream.
Well, for me, it's easy because I don't know any other way.
Sounds
I know
great.
That doesn't come, it doesn't come easy for other people.
Right.
And sometimes I get it, and sometimes it's actually hard for me to understand and grasp. But
right.
for me, it's easy. What the book, in essence, does, besides questioning your own life, it actually gives you a how-to, which is very simple. You don't need any fancy supplies, things like a loose-leaf notebook and a couple of dividers. Mm-hmm. And you section everything off into the question categories that are already provided for you. And by answering those questions, you're creating your own memoir for your family members, for children, for anybody. You know, it could be a spouse, it could be a best friend, to leave those questions behind when you're no longer there, because there's so many things that we go daily and take care of and do and run from point A to point B. And
right.
although we think we know the person, we don't always know the inner thoughts. I cover
right.
at least, I want to say, 8 pages of questions of just your inner thoughts themselves. You know, I mean, even silly things like, what are your pet peeves? You know, I have a pet peeve, and it's going to sound crazy. I can't stand
uh-huh.
when I reach into the utensil drawer and you have the fork, and if one of the little fork things are uneven, I know it's silly. I can't eat with that fork. I will search through the drawer to make sure I have a good fork. You know, I can't stand static on the radio station. It could be the best song in the world. If there's a little static, I have to switch it. You know,
you know,
and that's actually something my kids don't know about me, you know, now that I'm thinking
right.
of it, but they will.
But you know what? We do have, sometimes we feel like the weirdest, but how you said about the forks, you know, as I'm like you say in the kitchen, if it just seemed like everything is not in place, like, you know, it seemed like you just want to set it, like, for instance, like you said, the forks or the spoons that's in the drawer, that just aggravates
right.
me.
Right. Yeah. Silly little things. I mean, and I know,
yes.
but that's why I said some of the questions, it's labeled the small stuff, because it is small stuff in the realm of, you know, living your life and everything like that. But then there are the bigger stuff, you know, that really, like I said, very thought provoking. And then it, within the book, like I said, you put your memoir together. What I suggest is think about your bucket list. A lot of people say, you know, jokingly, oh, I'm going to put that on my bucket list. Okay. I take that seriously. I'm like, well, you know, some, you're just saying it. Do you have a bucket list? Do you really have a bucket list? And I thought about that before I even wrote the book. And I said, well, yeah, I have a mental bucket list. And then I decided, let me put it on paper. And then I'm 50% the way there, you know. But then
yeah.
what happens, you put it on paper and it sits there or it gets lost in the drawer. So my
right.
whole thing is that I know now, from putting my memoir together, what my next item is on my bucket list, because I have clear sleeves. Like I said, it's nothing fancy. You don't need any special supplies, but they're clear sleeves with a regular piece of white paper that you get from your computer. And like
mm-hmm.
I wrote skydiving. That was something that I always wanted to do. You know, I said, I don't want to look back and say, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Something that was important to me. And I remember going out with a couple of girlfriends for my birthday, and we'd always get each other a little something. And I told them, I don't want gifts. I said, if everybody can just, I don't care if it's $5. I said, I don't care who it's from, how much. I said, just put the money in an envelope, and I'm going to use that money towards purchasing my skydiving ticket.
Right.
And my birthday came, and they put scratch-offs in because they didn't want to be responsible if something went wrong with the skydiving.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so that was a little bit of a fail there, and I understand why they did it. So I wound up just saving the money myself at that point, but I tried. You got to give me credit for trying.
Right. Well, did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I went. My kids are just as crazy as me. I said they're all adult children now, but we all went up in the plane and one at a time just whisked out of the plane, and it was the most awesome experience of my life. Besides having my children, of course, but, you know, as far as things like that. Yeah, so I love doing it. Now I have no desire to bungee jump. Go figure. That's why I'm saying, I mean, I'll jump from 10,000 feet. I have no problem with that, but I'm not going over that bridge with the string.
String, I know.
Some people may think opposite. Some people may say, oh, great to both, or, you know, heck no to both. But that's why I said the book is really, really very individualized to the person because you're answering the questions. I'm just putting them out there, and I'm putting them in order for you and in the order where you can complete your whole memoir. And you know what? If you don't have children, it's okay because you still learn about yourself while you're going through these questions.
Yes,
you know,
great.
If you do have children, you have a tab and a chapter for each child because each story is different. The day they were born, like in my case, I have five. So, you know, it's all different stories about the day that each of them were born. There were different people there. There were different, you know, it was a different experience for each one. So each child, the way I had set it up, gets their own chapter.
Oh, that sounds great, Kathy. What inspired you, the title of your big book, It All Matters, The Parent Project?
It seems just simple because I think about all the things that people do in their life, and it really does all matter.
Okay.
And The Parent Project was geared more towards the memoir part of it. Although looking back, I might have changed that part, to be honest, something like your life story or something on that order. But because I actually had somebody say, oh, is that parenting advice? And I'm saying, no, anything further from it. So that kind of threw me off a little because, yeah, I didn't see it that way. But The Parent Project, meaning the memoir that you put together for your children.
That sounds great. So as you're putting these businesses together, you know, name the businesses that you're trying to get going now.
I said I have the Hot Dog Hut, which is a hot dog truck on Long Island. It will be in Nassau County. I'm sure you're not that familiar with Long Island. You're in Georgia. But and then I'm getting together a VIP valet and event staff business, which will do different kinds of events, ticket taking, greeters, you know, things on that order for colleges or restaurants, even Knights of Columbus halls. You know, we offer a lot of different services, so.
Okay. To my listeners that's out there, with you starting these businesses, do you think you found it? You know how people try to, if they aspire to start a business, do you find some hiccups in between? You know that some days you feel like, no, this is not going to work, or what keeps you inspiring to, you know, go ahead and proceed with
it? Listen, you know the saying, successful people fail more than failures, and that is so true because failures don't try. You know, they might try once, it fell through, that's it, sitting on the couch with a remote. I personally don't even know what a TV is. There's no time to watch TV. I'm constantly going and thinking and researching, and I, as a perfect example, I can tell you that the day I had the idea for the book, I have a base, an office in my basement. Nothing fancy, it's a basement. Very small basement, I might add. Washer, dryer, the clothes all over. And I sat down at my computer, my little spot, and I said, I have this idea. you know, I'm thinking in my head, because like I said, my grandparents, I realized after they were gone, there were so many things I wish I had asked them. Matter of fact, my grandmother was a seamstress. I wish, I mean, 30 years in the same company, I wish I had learned how to sew like her. I mean, I could sew a button, but she could sew anything. She could sew a wedding gown, and I wish I had learned that skill. But unfortunately, it was too late when I realized it. But I sat there, had the thought, and I started writing a couple of words, you know, maybe got to the first chapter. I don't even think I got through it. And I sat back in the chair, and I said to myself out loud, what are you doing? You don't know how to write a book. And then I said, I really said this. Thankfully, nobody was around to hear me. They would have thought I was crazy. And then I said, even if you write a book, because how many people, oh, I'm going to write a book. I said, even if you write the book, I mean, to completion, I said, you don't know how to publish it. It was almost like, what are you doing? But I have a tendency of doing that with all different things. I have the thought, and to me, it's already done. Now I just have to figure out how to do it.
Right.
You know, I just have to find the steps, but it's already done. So I said, you know, I told myself again, not out loud, but I said, just keep writing. You'll figure it out as you go along. And I mean, I edited over and over. In the end, I professionally edited it, but before they got it, trust me, I edited a million times.
Right.
And that's what I did. And I just one step at a time, one little, you know, you don't realize what goes into the actual cover of the book and, you know, the introduction and things like that. It's all these little tiny pieces, and you have to check it, recheck it, check it again, you know. And that's what I did, and it was one step at a time. And I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith.
Yes.
I absolutely love Will Smith. When he gets the job finally, and he's got his hands like he's praying, and he's got the tears coming down.
Right.
Well, that was me the day I got the delivery of the books.
Okay.
It was because I had seen it for 2 years in my head. You know what I'm saying? I visioned it. I visualized it. It was real in my head. But when I saw it come in the mail and I held it in my hand, it was it was overwhelming.
That sounds great. I can just imagine. You know, as you say, how we have these thoughts in the back of our mind. If I could say I had a great idea, a couple of great ideas about writing a book, but I don't know what's stopping me. Like you said, how you thought first, I was like, I don't know how to write a book. I don't even know where to start. You know, I was saying it to myself. And I actually have written like probably a whole chapter. I just never finished pursuing what, you know, I begun, you know, to do. And, you know, as I meeting different people and different people encouraging me, I'm moving forward now, but I'm actually writing doing a piece, an anthology. One a lady that I met, that she invited me to, you know, write a piece of a story for her anthology book, and I find that interesting. And it has been overwhelming. That has even encouraged me more to write my own book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give
so,
you the same
like
advice
you say,
I gave myself. Just keep writing.
Right. And, you
just
know, as
writing.
You say, you, living your life with a purpose and excitement. And I think a lot of people look at, because some people say, you are so optimistic. Because I'd be like, why not? You know I have a purpose in life. Sometimes we might not feel find that purpose, but, you know, and you just keep encouraging yourself. You know, so do you encourage your kids?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Learn from my mistakes so you don't have to make them all. You know, there's not enough time in this world to make them all. So I've told them, you know, invest in the 401k and things like that. My 21-year-old has been investing since he's 19.
Okay.
That's something that I didn't do. So I want to make sure that, you know, they do it.
Right.
Because it makes a world of difference in the end. It really does. And I unfortunately didn't have parents who taught me that. So, again, can't change that for myself, but I can change that for them.
And that's true.
And what I like is besides the obvious, the here and now, that, you know, we tell the next generation, whether they're kids or godchildren or, you know, nieces and nephews, we try to tell them certain things. You know, we're all living today. We're all living in the here and now. But the thing that I don't know if I even realized it when I wrote the book was it's so generational. Meaning that long after I'm gone, this book will carry on to the next generation. not just my story, but other people's stories. All the questions that they never, you know, we do ask our parents questions, but right. I did such research. I almost 2 years worth of research, working late at night, because I was so passionate about it, but it really wasn't even work. But I wanted mm-hmm. to get everything I possibly could into it from every which angle, you know, and eventually, you know, broke it down into categories and stuff like that. But, you know, I say if I didn't write the book and I found out about it, I would buy a copy for my mom. I said, unfortunately, my grandparents are gone. My dad passed away. But my mother's still alive, so I would give her a copy so that she could tell me the answers to the questions. I would buy one for myself to give mm-hmm. the answers for my children. And my daughter has 3 children, so I would give her a copy. See what I'm saying? It's very, very generational.
Yes, it is. And I'm so inspired by this. That makes a lot of sense. Like you said, a lot of questions go unanswered. And as every day in life, we don't even think about certain things. Like you said, after your grandparents passed, then you thought about the questions that wasn't answered. And that does make a lot of sense. You know, if y'all listening, listeners, you know, get into the family history, find out certain little bitty things, like she said, about when, you know, they was giving birth and, you know, who was there, you know, what was expected, different little things that might happen that may even encourage someone else to keep telling the stories, and, you know, we'd be able to share these different things that we knew nothing about. And like you said, the littlest things that count.
Sure, they all count, because it's what makes us. It's what builds us up.
Right.
Like I said, some of the questions are repetitive from elementary school, and then the same question will be asked in high school because you have a different view. Even though officially you're the same person, you're not the same person. You know, what you did at 20 years old, let's use the example of a significant other. You might tolerate, I don't know another word for that, but tolerate something when you're 16 by a boyfriend or a girlfriend or, you know, mm-hmm. and you're not going to tolerate that same thing when you're 25. And you're certainly not going to tolerate it when you're 40. See what I'm saying? Like, you know, it changes over the years. So it shows how you've changed over the years. I mean, many questions are original for each era of your mm-hmm. life, but some of them, you know, specifically like that, are repetitive because you do change your views. That's why maybe a decision that we made and we thought it was a really great decision is not going to be the same decision at 40, because you're looking at it from a different, you know, frame of mind.
That's so true. One of my guests have sent one of the listeners have sent in a question. They say, when you was making your bucket list, was you being realistic?
Absolutely. Why would I be unrealistic? I mean, I'm unrealistic with my own expectations, but I do know from doing my bucket list really what I want out of life. And that sets the course for which direction you're going to go in. Like I said, I don't want to bungee jump. I have, you know, somebody else may say, oh, that's definitely what I want to do before I go. And that's great. Right. That works for them. I have no desire. Even a lot of people, Paris, for some reason that comes up. People want to visit Paris and the Eiffel Tower. I actually have no desire whatsoever to go to Paris. I want to go to Italy. That's my car trip. Yeah, I would like to go to Italy. It just looks like a totally different world. Yes, I'm half Italian, but that really has nothing to do with it. I just, you know, I've seen the pictures and with the boats, and nobody really drives over there, and it just looks like such a different world.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. I have another question. They say, are you inspired to write another book?
I am inspired to write another book, and I'm actually in the process, amongst the other million things that I'm doing, writing a book. That's actually a very personal story. I mm-hmm. don't believe in writing anything that's false, because I feel like there's so much truth in the world. It just is I don't read anything false. Not knocking anybody who does. Sometimes I guess people need that escape. I personally like mm-hmm. Harry Potter. I could not tell you one character besides Harry Potter, because that's the name of the movie, but I don't believe in the make-believe stuff. You know, I want to see the truth. I want to learn from it.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah. Oh, I have another question. They said, what inspired you to do the hot dog thing?
A hot dog thing. You know, that's a really good question that I don't know that I have an answer to. I just, my whole life, I've always worked around my children. I became a single mother when my children were 2 to 9, and there were 5 of them. And daycare, although financially was not an option because there were so many of them, was not an option for me personally. I just did not, I didn't have them to put them in daycare. And I said, once again, not knocking anybody, everybody's in a different situation, but I decided to open my own daycare so that I could make some money and I could also stay with my children to make sure that they were safe and they were, you know, getting the attention that they deserved every day. As they got a little bit older, I started to do craft fairs where I would bring them with me. And I remember, you know, they would work with me behind the counter. At this point, they were late elementary school, middle school, and they were young. But I'll tell you, they were better than anybody I could have hired because knowing what to do. It's crazy, I know. But my one daughter was about 12 at the time, and she was amazing. I kept saying I couldn't hire somebody better than her. She knew the business inside and out. So, you know, life shifts and stuff. And then it got to the point where now at this point, they were more like around high school age, late middle school. And I said, I want something. I always like to do my own thing. So I decided the hot dog truck, exactly where the idea came out of, I'm not sure. But I knew it was something that I was my own boss. And I purposely kept it close to home. God forbid they needed to come home sick or something. I could just pack up, go pick them up. You know, but that was, I guess it was more of like a convenience thing that it worked for me at that point in my life. And that's what I've always tried to do. You know, now they're older, so now I'm going into the bigger and better things, you know, as far as, like I said, the valet parking and event staff business, because, I mean, any business you do is going to be a lot of work, but that can get kind of crazy. You're talking hiring, you're talking scheduling. I said right now I'm the security supervisor, so I'm used to a lot of that right now, and that was one of the reasons why I chose this business.
That sounds good.
You know, they don't need me as much at this stage. You know, I could never have done this 10 years ago. It wouldn't have worked, and I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have wanted to take that time away from them 10 years ago. It really wouldn't have been practical.
I agree with you on that. We have another question. They said, have any of your kids been inspired to write their own memoir?
Have they inspired me to write my memoir?
No, they said, have they been inspired by you to write their own?
I don't know that they've been inspired to write their own memoir, but I can tell you that my second oldest, who is a daughter, she is so into the bucket list.
Okay.
She has completed probably more than I have at this stage in her life, and she's 27.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because now with the beauty, you know, the magic of Facebook, you know, she's old enough. She still lives home, but she goes to school. She works, very busy, you know. But, you know, they don't tell me everything they're doing. They're kids, but they're adult children.
Right.
And I'll see on Facebook, she's at the shooting range. She's, you know, over here, over there, doing this and doing that. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know. And she wrote something when she was in high school that I'm not a very emotional. I always try to be strong and stuff. But I actually had tears in my eyes. It was talking about who is the smartest person in your life. And she said me. Now, I don't know that I agree with that. I'm sure there's a lot of people smarter than me. But I think it's because I, somewhere along the lines, you know, as parents, we wonder if we're doing the right thing, the wrong thing. Somewhere along the lines, I think I did the right thing unknowingly because she's inspired by the way I am, the way I perceive life, the way I try to go out there and get what I want.
That's so great. I mean, that's good. She look up to you like that. And, you know,
very nice. Very nice.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, a lot of us do need to sometimes step out, you know, inspire people to look up, you know, do some inspiration for them to look up. And I think the most important part of that is your kids. You know, you give them something to get inspired by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, every day we're doing stuff, whether it's good stuff, bad stuff, stuff that's not that important maybe for the day. They're watching. No matter what age they are, they're watching, whether they're 3, 13, 23, and you don't realize what an impact you have on them. You know, just the way we didn't realize, I guess, with our parents, what an impact they had on us. It's, you know, as we grow up, we, you know, we sometimes I think that we're molded in a certain way because of the way we grew up. And then you get to a certain age and say, well, you know, maybe my parents did this and I kind of like this stuff, so I'll take that with me. And the other stuff, well, maybe not so much. So, and that's when you start to mold yourself. I don't know. Obviously, there's not a certain age for that. It could be different circumstances and stuff. But, you know, so hopefully my kids take the good stuff that they've seen and they throw away the bad stuff. And then they'll mold themselves into, you know, the young adults, obviously, that they are now and as they go through the years.
And that's so true. We can leave impressions, you know, on our kids, on our loved ones. But it sounds like you're very passionate about what you're doing. And, you know, I like that, you know, live life, you know, enjoy it. Be inspired by the things you do, you know.
Right.
Like you, I'll be down the line, down years down the line saying, what if?
Don't say what if. Yeah, that's like the worst. You don't want to say what if. I mean, if you're still at an age where what if means, okay, I can go and try it and find out what if. But I just don't want to look back. Like I said, two words, no regrets.
Right.
Even if you tried and you fail, that's okay too. But at least you tried, and for whatever reason, maybe you weren't successful. And that's okay, because you know what? You learn for the next time you try. And somehow, sometimes, things intertwine themselves, and you don't even realize it. You could have tried something at 20 and not even maybe given it your best shot, but got a lesson out of it. And then when you're 30, you might go into a totally different endeavor, but the 20-year-old comes back up like, oh, wait, but I know how to do this part. You know, so
yeah.
you never really lose the lesson, I don't think.
Yeah, I think you put it right, because you should learn about it, by, you know, from that lesson. And like you say, you go within it a different angle or attitude, you know, aspect about it. Yeah, you know, it's a different age, right?
Yeah, there's that, losing my voice now, that famous professor Randy Pausch. He said experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. It's so true. And even if you want to experience, even if you experience something, let's say, oh gosh, all right, my one daughter loves to sing. Now, will she be the next Britney Spears? Not likely. I'm being realistic. But she sang at many different venues and concert halls and town movie nights and things like that, and she realized at some point that as much as she enjoyed the singing, it wasn't really what she wanted, but at least she has those memories to look back on. We photographed all along the way her, like, holding the American flag, singing the anthem, you know, so she does have these things to look back on. Now, she doesn't want to be Britney Spears. I mean, to the point where if somebody offered her a contract tomorrow, she would refuse it, because she realized, you know what, it was great while I was growing up, but I also want my privacy. You know, like I tease them and I say my perfect life would be to be a silent millionaire, because I'd have the money, but nobody would ever know it. You know, I wouldn't want to go to the supermarket and have people, you know, oh, I want your autograph. I mean, yeah, that'd be kind of cool once or twice. And my best friend, when I gave her the book, she says, oh, you have to autograph her for me. And I said, really? You know, and she made me. I can tell you she made me. But, you know, and that's my best friend. That's something fun. But, you know, to go to the supermarket and for people to constantly, you know, you don't want to be the next Demi Moore, so to speak, or whoever's popular now, you know, because I don't know. That's my personal opinion. Maybe you want to be the next Demi Moore. I don't know. And that's fine.
Right. You know, I mean, that is so true. It just depends on, you know, your mindset of how you want to take it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I agree with you, like, if I became a millionaire, well, nobody knew it.
Right. I walk around T-shirt and jeans, and, yeah, and that's it. Nobody's business, and, you know, not change the person that I am. You know, maybe change a couple more things I could do, but, you know, I always want to stay grounded. Always
that is so
grounded.
True. Right. And I think it's important to stay grounded, you know, no matter where you reach in your endeavors in life. To me, staying grounded keep yourself real, you know, to understand where you're coming from, and don't forget that. And it's about inspiring others and sharing stories, you know, because to me, being
Absolutely.
Inspirational about what you do it's not about what you get out of it. It's just about, you know, sharing a story and getting a fulfillment out of it.
Right. You know, I found when I originally had the idea before the day that I sat down at the computer, I said, I wonder if there's something out there like that. And I went into the library. I looked up memoir mm-hmm. books. I went to Barnes & Noble memoir books. And what I personally found was there are books about writing your memoir. And it was, okay, what happened on this special day? And then the rest of the page is blank. So you have to really figure it out. Now, are there sections here where, like I said, tell the story about the day you were born? Yes. But the page isn't blank. That's for you to fill in, whether you type it on the computer, you know, write the question again and type it on the computer. I don't feel that I'm going to pay, say, $15 for a book that I'm going to have one question at the top of the page and then a blank page.
Right.
It just, to me, it didn't make sense, and I felt like the memoirs that I personally had picked up and viewed, you know, I wanted to go in the opposite direction. I really wanted to give people that roadmap where you don't have to think about, you know, oh, well, what about this story? I mean, listen, there's always extra pages you can add if you have something really significant that you want to add. That's totally understandable. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel that, you know, a 250-page book of blank pages is really going to help you.
That is so true. That is so true. I can understand that. And I think the way the layout of your book, that is inspiring. You know, it make you think about, you know, the different things and the questions they need to ask. That some people not ever might realize of that question, but the way you
right.
have your laid out, I think that's a good detail, you know, helping
yeah.
people out. Yeah,
I
you know,
it really, it's from the very beginning,
right.
your birth, your siblings, your younger self. I'm trying to think the middle years, the teenage years, in your
right.
20s, your married life, if you were married, you know, not that you have to be married, or if you went through a divorce.
Right. Right.
Why, you know, because especially if your children were very young or even when they're older, because sometimes we don't want to tell them all the little details and it's, you know,
right.
we try to protect them. But maybe,
right.
you know, they don't understand it. Or if you had an absentee parent, you know, this would even be
mm-hmm.
something for them. This is why I wasn't around. These are the things that were going on in my life, in your life, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the reasons.
That is so true. I agree with you with that. I have a question here. Hold on, where did it go to? Just a moment. Oh, I don't know what happened to the question. It just popped up.
You lost the question.
Yeah, it was just like, I guess it, I don't know. This computer acting crazy right now. But said love and lessons and capturing the moments, that's, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, with the book. And, you know, as you go through life, you know, it's good to share, you know, and as you said, some things, you know, that kids, we look back on as we get older, and
mm-hmm.
love and lessons and just capturing that moment, as you said. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got the question now.
Okay. You found it. I'm proud of you.
She was wondering where she can get your book at.
Oh, okay. The book is available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I'll be honest, I have a few people selling it on eBay. Do not purchase it off of eBay. And I only say that because they've jacked up the price by about $10.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, if you're going to purchase it, either Amazon or Barnes & Noble, save you 10 bucks right there.
Sounds great. And,
I actually have one gentleman I work for. He has 8 siblings, and he purchased a book for each of his siblings because they all have children.
That's great. That was great
yeah.
right there. Yeah. For the listeners that came on a little later, Kathy, introduce
mm-hmm.
yourself again and just give them a little background.
Sure. So my name is Kathy Cardio, the publisher of my very first book. It's called It All Matters, The Parent Project. And it's about living your life to the fullest and leaving the rest behind.
Sounds great. And with that part, leaving the rest behind, how would you define it, you know, to the listeners, like if they didn't understand what you meant by that?
Right. Well, leaving the rest behind is the person that you really were. It's all the questions that you never thought to ask. So you could ask your parent, you know, should you purchase the book? You can ask your mother or father or grandparents, depending on, you know, who's still with you. You can ask them a lot of the questions. I wish, like I said, I wish that I had the answers to all these questions from my grandparents, and I was actually the only granddaughter for 18 years. So not that I was spoiled. I was more of a tomboy, but I was named after my grandmother, so, you know, so there was a little bit of an in there, you know, from the beginning, but I was very close with them, you know. I don't know if it's because I was named after her, because I was the only girl, but as close as I was, when they passed, there were so many things I wish I had asked them. And now, fortunately, in my life, I have a granddaughter. I have two grandsons also, but, okay, you know, they're not possibly going to be able to ask me everything. And, you know, listen, right, it's very personal. There are some questions in there that may be too private, that maybe you don't feel that you want to leave behind, and that's your choice. But they're
right
out there. You know, the questions
that's
are out
true
there.
That is
you said
so
about
true
even going through a divorce. The kids might not have understood why you did what you did at the time, even though it, you know, I'm sure it was for their benefit. So you get the chance to explain things with no interruptions, you know,
that
in your
so
own
true
time, your own pace, just so people can really know who you are.
And that's good. And I think, as you're saying, writing a memoir is, I think that's a great way to share things that can carry on, you know, even if the questions they forget to ask, you know, that you have written it down, you know, they can go back and look at the book. And
right,
it was one statement I seen, I don't know if it actually was in your book, but it said, it doesn't matter what's been written, your story so far is how you fill up the rest of the pages that matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you can't change anything from your past. You can only change the next chapter, the next day, the next moment. You know, I mean, and I believe in one thing that I feel very strongly about is if you see somebody that needs help, regardless of what type mm-hmm of help it is, if you can assist with them, you help them. You know, we have a local gentleman who's always sitting outside. He's homeless by the post office. I go in to get stamps, and I actually started to carry around. I looked it up online. I Googled it. Then they're like called help me bags or homeless bags, and they're in Ziplocs, and it's just a washcloth and a razor and, you know, some soap, mm-hmm, a toothbrush, a toothpaste. Now, I maybe I can't change the world. I mean, I never really intended to do that, but I can make
right
a difference when I see somebody like that, and I have several times.
Mm-hmm.
And that all stemmed from one time I had a gentleman who was obviously homeless, and he asked for money, and then we all have that perception, well, are they going to buy booze, are they going to this, are they going to that, you know, and we don't know. And I turned him away, not on purpose, like I didn't want to, but it haunted me so much, because
mm-hmm
maybe if I would have given him $5, he would have bought something to eat, you know. But it really,
right,
really haunted me. And I said, well, you know what? I can't change that. That situation for that gentleman was one night and one moment and, you know, one encounter. And it's over. But I can change it going forward. And that's when I decided to literally just get a thing of Ziploc bags from Walmart, you know, and just what are the basic necessities. And they say don't put, like, say, baby wipes because they get thrown out. You know, put a washcloth or two in there. They can go into, you know, restrooms and clean up, and they can reuse the washcloth over again and the razor and all these simple things that we have in our cabinet that we take for granted. You know, God forbid you or I found ourselves homeless tomorrow. Those would be very important things to us. So,
oh, that's a great,
you know,
concept, yeah.
Yeah, so I love it. I mean, I always keep like five of them in my car at a time. If I start running down to one or two, I'll go back and I'll just remake a few more bags and I keep them with me. So, you know, I realize that the next time something like that happens, and unfortunately it most likely will, you know, I'm prepared. You know,
right,
even like light snacks, granola bars, things that don't go bad. I mean, nowadays the can of soup, you don't need, on most of them, the can opener. It's just a pop top, you know. So, you know, some plastic utensils, you know what? They have a meal that they wouldn't have normally had. So it's just, you know, for myself, I'm not doing it for anybody else, and I normally don't even talk
mm-hmm
about this. It's, you
right
know, it's, you know, there was a gentleman one time in the donut store, a local donut store, and, you know, I said it was just obvious that he was, you know, came up hard times, and I didn't feel the need to go over and speak to him and ask him and, you know, and pry into his business. Mm-hmm. My business
right.
is to help when I see somebody in need to help. And he went into the restroom. I had been sitting there eating a donut, and while he was in the restaurant, mm-hmm. I ran quickly out to my car. I got one of my Ziploc bags. I put them down, and I left the restaurant. Now, I didn't see his reaction, but I didn't have to. I know that he got it because he had his other, you know, stuff there, his other belongings
right.
there. So I know he was coming right back to the table. And a friend of mine says, well, don't you want to see his reaction? I said, it doesn't matter. What matters is that he got it.
Right. That's nice. That's what it's all about. Opening your heart, you know, to things that you wouldn't think of before. And I think at times it'll be a lot of better things if people open up to their heart to others, you know, just out of kindness, you know, kindness of your heart, doing things for others. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that's where your blessings come from. When you help others, you know, you share things to inspire people.
Right.
Right. You know, and that sounds great. I like that. And Kathy, I'm so happy you came on today to share your story with us. And
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Keep it up. Keep being inspired. Keep inspiring others. And, you know, and to my guests, you know, y'all all go read her book. You know, I think that's a very important memoir to get, you know, so we can share those moments, you know, down the line with our kids or with other family members. And
mm-hmm.
I encourage y'all to go to Amazon and get her book. It All Matters, The Parent Project by Kathy Cardia. And Kathy.
Yep. Listen, it's not about me. I may have written the book, but it's not about me at all. It's all about you guys.
Yeah. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And I know your business is going to be a success and waiting on
Thank
the next
you.
Book.
Thank you.
You know? And I can tell you're a very passionate person about what you do. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about being passionate. It's not about what we can. Like you said, it's not even about us. You know, when you have passion in your heart, it's about, you know, giving yourself to others, you know, sharing that moment or, you know, whatever we can give to make, you know, a better place. Because to me, it's all about life. I think everyone should have a smile on their face, you know,
right.
at times.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I always put a smile. I don't care if it's opening the door for somebody. It's because the little things mean just as much as the big things. I have to tell you a quick story. I had a young guy that works with me, and we have this joke. I tell him he's my third son now, you know. But, I mean, I was 25, 30 years older than him. But I noticed that he had a lot of questions. I used to tease him and call him the why guy, you know. But he was working at a certain post because, you know, I do the security work. And he just had so many questions. He wanted to know everything about everything. And I had time to talk to him during every shift. You know, I would talk to everybody, but something stood out about this one kid. And he was telling me that he wanted to do certain things in life, but he doubted himself. And I said, why? I said, you're amazing. Don't you know that? And I said, I'll tell you what. Because he's like, well, I don't know if I don't believe that I can maybe do, you know, X, Y, Z. And I said, I believe for both of us. I know you have it in you. I have no doubts. And I was able to thankfully help him get like a higher paying job and a higher position and better status, things like that. But in the end now, he's a New York City cop. And that's what he was talking about back then, that he wanted to. That was his passion, to go into the police force. But he didn't know if he could do it. And
right.
I remember when he passed the test, he called me. And he said, thank you for believing me even when I didn't believe in myself. And I said, I knew you always had it. And now he's a police officer, and I'm very proud of him. Like I said, he's like my other son, you know, unrelated, but my other son. And he was dating a beautiful girl. And I said, you two are going to have a very good life. And they were actually very young when I first met him. They were dating as teenagers. And I happened to see him about 6 months ago at a holiday party. And he said, by the way, we're engaged. So his life, and it's like, and I said, I told you I always believed in you. I always knew. And he says something about, I have your address. He said, don't worry, you're getting an invite to the wedding. I said, you better.
Right. I love to hear stories like that.
He kept saying, I always learn from you. But I said, you know, that's relevant because as much as, and I'm happy to teach you what I know, there was another gentleman there who was about 75. And I said, the way I teach you things is the way I learned from him.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, encouraging people. And, you know, by you encouraging him and believing in him, he believed in himself. And, you know, you gave him the encouragement to do that. And that's what it's all about. Yes.
And he did it. He's happy and his life is moving along, and I'm so happy for him. And I better get that invitation.
That is so great. Thank you for sharing that story, Kathy. You know, and like you said, with your business endures, I know it's going to be awesome, you know, when you actually get started. I would love you to come back when you actually get it started, come back on the show and share that with us. You know, those steps that you had to go through the adventures of getting it started, I would love for you to come back on there and share that with us.
Yes. No matter what you do, you make it an adventure. That's one of my jokes. Even when it's something really bad that you don't want to do, I just joke around. I say, come on, we're going on an adventure.
I know. That's funny.
That's another adventure to be had.
Yes, that's what I say, too. Another adventure.
That's right. Another adventure.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for coming on today, and it's been a really pleasure to speaking with you today and, you know, sharing your passion with us and just, you know, what you do. And like I said, I really love your memoir, and I encourage other people to go out there and you know, get it, purchase it for themselves. Let everyone know how to reach you on social media and where to get your book at again.
Sure. I have a Facebook page. It's, I believe, with Kathy Cardio. Facebook, or you know, just look up my name, Kathy Cardio. You can find me there. I have a page for Outskirts Press/Kathy Cardio.
Okay, we will, and we appreciate that. And everyone, reach out, go on Amazon and purchase her memoir, It All Matters, The Parent Project. And Kathy, like I said again, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today and having you on my show.
Thank you for having me, and you have a great day.
You too. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Again, everyone, my VIP guest today was Kathy Cardio. She's based in Long Island. Her debut book, It All Matters, The Parent Project, was inspired by her parents and grandparents. The many questions she wished had been answered, the adventures, the struggles, the wisdom, and stories. It is her hope the future generations have such insight. And as y'all know, I'm Tree Smith here on Blog Talk Radio, Free Your Mind, every Sunday at 6 p.m. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you all for the support. And see you next Sunday with another VIP guest. Thank you.